Welcome to the All Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Inman, and joined by star producer and co-host, Chris Brito. NBA free agency is more or less over, but we still have some major questions to see answered before the upcoming NBA season in October. Before we get to all that, Chris, my friend, how are you?
What's up, Stevie? Always happy to be here with you and talk more NBA basketball. I think the most important thing that is on our minds is obviously Donovan Mitchell, but we were alerted to a potential trade discussion between the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. So part of that package was Jaylen Brown would go to the Nets for Kevin Durant, I believe, plus Derek White as well. But that to me sounds like a trade that could potentially happen, just because I think Jaylen Brown is probably the best player the Nets can get for Kevin Durant at this current point. So I'm wondering, like, do you think the Nets should wait out? They should probably ask for more, obviously, which they did. But where do you fall in line with this proposal?
I agree with you in that this is the framework to a deal. I think now what you need is kind of what the Nets asked for. It's, hey, we don't really want Derek White. What does Derek White really do for us right now? He's an extra guard. He's fine. We'd rather have Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year. We'd rather have, you know, we want three, four first round picks and a couple pick swaps instead of one first round pick. And, you know, you're hoping that, you know, as Durant ages, those draft picks go from being 28th to 18th to 15th, you know, something like that, where, you know, your hope is that Boston cannot find that star to go with Jason Tatum after Durant's career, his prime is over. So I think the framework is there. I like Jaylen Brown a lot, but I don't think this is close to happening, especially when you also consider Jaylen Brown's only got 2 years left on his deal. He's a guy who got a really, you know, team-friendly deal the first time. And so he's not going to extend because the rules say you can only extend, you know, X percentage above your current salary. And so he's not going to extend. He's going to wait till free agency. And that just gives you a lot of uncertainty if you're the Nets or Boston or whoever that person, you know, team is. So while I think Jaylen Brown's an excellent start and it probably puts the Celtics in the lead right now, I would not say this is close to happening.
Yeah, I think it's, as you said, it's like it still weighs away, but I think the encouraging thing about it, or at least the most suspicious thing about it, was the fact that we were all alerted of this potential trade proposal overnight at like, what, 2 a.m. or 3 a.m, depending on where you are. And I thought that was really strange because it's either obviously an executive that felt like he needed to put that news out somewhere, or Woj maybe feeling that he might get scooped. But the timing is suspicious. And it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for the Celtics to do something like this. I think right now, if you're going to make a trade, is obviously the best time because it's the off season, but it certainly doesn't put anybody on in any fire right now because it is the dead of the season. And like, you don't need to really start making moves to like training camp. And once the season starts and you get a better picture of what you have.
Well, the Nets are definitely the ones who leak this, right? I mean, they're trying to show teams, hey, stop sending us these garbage offers. You need to beat Jaylen Brown, a role player and a pick. You need to beat that offer for us to consider you. And so right now, Toronto is not willing to throw in Scotty Barnes. I haven't heard anything about New Orleans throwing in picks and Brandon Ingram. So until the Nets think they're getting a better player and pick package than Jaylen Brown, they're not going to really entertain your offer. So this, in my opinion, all this really does is help move this really slow process, inch it along a little bit. Now, all of a sudden we know, okay, here's the bar you have to clear for us to even consider you.
And quite frankly, I think the Celtics have, if I'm the Celtics and I have the chance to get Kevin Durant, I would throw in Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and whatever else. I think, you know, Kevin Durant and Tatum on the floor, they would be unguardable. You know, at the likes of, like, I don't think we've seen any forwards like those two ever. I mean, unless you want to talk about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but
who are never healthy at the same time.
And then meanwhile, you have those, you know, if you have Kevin Durant, Tatum, like, that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that would be an incredible lineup anyway.
And don't forget, they got Robert Williams, who's been very good. They have Malcolm Brogdon they brought in. He's a very good point guard. You have really interesting role players, whether it's Derek White, if he's in this trade, Gallinari they just signed. Grant Williams is still technically around. I think this is a group that not only should be the finals favorite, even ahead of the Warriors, but I would be surprised if, health-wise, if they stayed healthy, that they could not get back to the finals at least. And so it's interesting because Kevin Durant did not really want to take the meeting with Boston a couple years ago when he was a free agent, right? And now they're going to find their way to get their man anyway, maybe. And so it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to that, because on one hand, he wants to win. He wants to be the best player on a championship team unequivocally, which I believe he would in Boston. But at the same time, this is not a place he really was eager to go the first time.
Yeah, and I wonder if, you know, when the Nets lost against the Celtics and he heard all the, well, I mean, I guess most of the Celtics' anger was against Kyrie, but I do wonder, like, in those situations, whether, like, players carry any resentment. But, and knowing how sensitive Kevin Durant is, it's something I think about. Now, moving forward with the Nets and the Celtics, especially within the parameters of what we've talked about, right? I guess you don't foresee anything happening anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. I'm interested to see if other teams start to get involved. Does Boston feel pressure to up their offer because Jaylen Brown doesn't seem happy in his situation? You know, there's reports that he's not happy. He's tweeting about it, obviously. There are other reports that said he would love to stay in Boston and extend it, you know, being there his entire career. So it's really unsure what's noise and what's real. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who's been in trade rumors for guys like Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Anthony Davis, now Durant. Eventually, he's going to start getting annoyed and go, like, wait a second. I was our best player in the finals. I'm the one being dangled in all these rumors when we're trying to win a championship. How am I going to focus on winning that championship if you're always trying to trade me for what you perceive as a better player, a bigger name? And I wonder if that makes them more inclined to up their offer and be like, all right, let's just get this done, because this is a guy who may not want to extend with us.
I think that's, I mean, in situations like that with, like, Jaylen, right? Like, and he voices frustration, obviously. I would not be upset, just because, listen, it's Kevin Durant, one of the best scorers in the history of the NBA. If anything, I'd feel flattered.
I think his point, though, is it's not about Kevin Durant. It's about being in trade rumors by the team. My team is offering me up in trades all the time, it seems like. And yes, we're talking about Hall of Fame players, but at the same time, it's hard to feel wanted in a place when that keeps happening, right?
Right. We don't see Tatum being dangled into
any. Tatum's not in these offers. It's never about Tatum. It's always Jaylen Brown. And I can get why he's frustrated. And maybe, you know, maybe he wants to be there his entire career and we don't know. You know who would know? You know, Brad Stevens, who'd be the one who's coached him forever and is now the one in charge of making this potential franchise altering trade. So
I'm not sure Brad Stevens would know that, actually.
Well, I mean, he knows Jaylen Brown's personality, and he knows whether, you know, trade rumors have been bothering him. He's been in locker rooms with him for 5-6 years. You know, I'm sure if there's been an issue in the past, Brad Stevens has been in those meetings.
I think it's always safe to assume, though, that, like, the trade rumors, no matter how big of a star you are, will always bother you. And I think with Jaylen, like, listen, it sucks, but, you know, I think if you're being dangled for talks with Kevin Durant, that's as good as who's probably one of the best, but it was top five player in the NBA. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you get Kevin Durant and you get an assured championship. Whereas right now you're still a favorite, but it's not like a sure thing. I mean, nothing is a sure thing.
Yes. I totally agree with that. And, you know, if I'm the Nets and Jaylen Brown might be available, is available, that would be my number one priority. I think he's a better player than Ingram. I think the Scotty Barnes thing, I'm not sure if Toronto is ever going to trade him on a rookie deal. And if Jaylen Brown, in theory, learns how to dribble, I think he's a top 10 player in the NBA. I really do. I'm that high on him.
Yeah, and listen, if the Nets also get Marcus Smart, like, can you imagine a lineup with Marcus Smart, Ben Simmons,
Jaylen Brown,
I'm missing some people.
Claxton,
maybe Harris. Like, that's a pretty solid NBA team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be a young team too.
Yeah. And we'll have to wait and see on that. Speaking of other young guards in trade rumors, Donovan Mitchell, Chris, we've been waiting to finally hear Donovan Mitchell is on the trade block for what, 2-3 years. We've been dreaming of this moment over and over, and now it's here, and we're not sure if we want this to happen. To me, this is exactly like the Carmelo trade all over again. It's a elite offensive player who is from the area, who wants to be here, and you're worried that they're bidding against themselves. That's exactly what this is, where you could be the most optimistic Knicks fan, you could be the most pessimistic Knicks fan, you could be media. No one believes that Donovan Mitchell coming to the Knicks is going to result in this team becoming a championship contender. And the trade request by Danny Ainge and the Utah Jazz, which is somewhere around that 7 first round picks, all the young players, pick swaps, it's one of those things where that's what you give up for Kawhi Leonard to get Paul George, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you know, that kind of thing. And I just don't think Donovan Mitchell's that missing piece. I think he's an excellent player. He's one of my all-time favorite players. I would love to have a Donovan Mitchell Knicks jersey, but I'm very worried here that they're going to give up the entire farm and then be a perennial 6 seed every year.
Yeah, I mean, I like Donovan Mitchell as well. I feel like he's a good guy. He's a Met fan like us. But, you know, if a guy like Donovan Mitchell comes, we're going to be an awful defensive team. It doesn't matter who coaches us. We're going to have 2 undersized guards. And I think the most concerning part, and if we don't end up trading Randall, is that, you know, 4 guys are going to need the ball in that starting lineup. Randall, RJ, Brunson, and Mitchell. And so that really complicates things for this team, because it struggled to execute offensively. It may help, especially like when, like, you know, we are, you know, at late stretches of games and we can't find a bucket. Now we have 2 other guys that can do that, or make it easier for the other guys that can do that. So there's certainly that plus to the equation. But would I want Donovan Mitchell if we trade all our youth? No, I wouldn't want to do that. I would not want to do a Carmelo Anthony repeat. And right now I'm giving the front office the benefit of the doubt. They've gotten into a position where they want to be in terms of being able to swing a massive trade. And so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt till then. I think they should probably start making moves at some point, but, you know, we could make this trade if we wanted to. It just obviously wouldn't be worth it if we're trading like Grimes, Obi, McBride, and all these young guys that, you know.
Yeah. And I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure.
The Knicks assets right now are not that good, and I'll explain that. Quickly and Poppin are players that are currently blocked on playing big time minutes, who we have to decide on. Well, they have to decide on a contract extension for those guys either next summer or let them hit restricted free agency. You know, guys who we've seen it right now with guys like Ayton and Colin Sexton, who's still out there. Restricted free agents don't have a lot of value. They don't. You don't get a lot for them in trades. You know, it never really works out that way. So you're talking about players who you could make the case their value will not be higher as Knicks than they are right now. Then you're talking about a Wizards pick, a Piston pick, all which are protected until they make the playoffs. You and I, we praise the Pistons. I don't see them making the playoffs for the next couple of years. And so those picks to me are way down the road if they ever convey at all. So you're talking really about what is really the asset in this trade. It's Knicks unprotected future picks. You're talking about Danny Ainge saying, who is one of the dumber organizations over the last 20 years? Not the future, but let's look at the past. It's the Knicks. And a lot of, you know, all-star players have been drafted with Knicks picks in the last 10, 15 years without the Knicks making those picks. And so if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm way more focused on the picks, unprotected Knicks picks, than I am on other teams' picks of the Knicks own or on quickly Grimes, Toppin. The Knicks can, you know, you give us one of those guys, you can keep the rest, give us, you know, four unprotected Knicks picks, and we have a deal. And I think that might be something where the Knicks would be apt to do it, where Leon Rose goes, okay, if those picks become good, I'm fired anyway. And I get to keep my young players. We have a young, fun team led by Donovan Mitchell. And I think that's something that would really excite the fans. And we wouldn't know whether the Knicks made a good move or a bad move on that for many years.
So here's basically, I felt very differently about the Donovan Mitchell trade a few weeks ago, where I said, it's just not a good fit because of the Brunson thing being right next to him. But then I said, like, the Knicks were really awful defensively last year anyway. So, like, Brunson and Mitchell are an upgrade no matter how you look at it. So, I think with what you said, like, obviously that makes perfect sense. I think my criticism with Ainge in the past is that he loaded up on being in positions to make trades, but never made them. The only big trade that he made, obviously, was that, well, two big trades, obviously, the Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett one, and then Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to the Nets, that paid off dividends, as you know.
Yeah.
You bring it up all the time. That's why. So, you know, if I'm the Knicks, obviously I want to get Donovan Mitchell, but I'd like to wait it out a little bit further to see whether Ainge changes his positioning on how many picks he wants for Mitchell. Like, the Knicks don't need to make this move, even as much as I want Mitchell, you know? And I think that's the larger point here. Like, the Jazz can want XYZ, but it doesn't really matter because the Jazz are, like, have a fork in the road right now.
So that's my question, Chris. Could other teams get involved here, or is this a Knicks or bust situation?
I think it is a Knicks or bust situation. Maybe the Nets could be a team that, like, all right, maybe makes sense because it is also New York. But I can't see where else he would go. I mean, Miami doesn't have enough. OKC maybe, but, like, does he really fit in well with Giddy and forgetting their new draft pick?
SGA, Giddy.
The tall guy?
Chet.
Chet. I mean, I just don't see any obvious fits besides the Knicks or the Nets. So, yes, a lot similar to the Carmelo Anthony situation.
Yeah, I mean, and that was kind of the talk during the Carmelo thing. The longer this drags on, could other teams get involved? And maybe, I don't think we know. I mean, we speculated before the show, who are the teams that could get involved that have, one, the draft picks, and two, the desire to go get a Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, the only team I could really think of that really made sense for both of those things is, you know, the West Coast Knicks, the Sacramento Kings. And they are just so desperate to break this playoff streak that, you know, Fox Mitchell does not really pair up well to me, but at the same time, it definitely improves their offense. Would they do Murray, you know, the other D Mitchell and a couple of draft picks? Would Utah and Danny Ainge prefer that to the Knicks package? I don't know. They very well could prefer to have them involved to do, use them as leverage against the Knicks. So as you said, you know, I think the Knicks have done a good job of not jumping at the first offer and giving up everything like they normally do. And we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, this is, we've seen Leon Rose do a lot of really small things well, move up and down in drafts, you know, learn to use the salary cap in ways that we didn't think Knicks executives knew how to use the salary cap. Those are really nice singles. We're looking for him to hit the home run, and we're looking for him to do it without paying the price for it. And it'll be fascinating because, to me, this is how we'll remember Leon Rose's tenure as a New York Knicks GM or president, whoever he is.
No, it's so true that you say that, because I think in the long run, like, you remember the home runs, you don't remember the
singles. You don't remember him moving from 21 to 25 and recouping second, like, round picks.
Like, I just, like, told you three trades that Danny Ainge did like 10 years ago or right, whatever time it was. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just wait and see, because, you know, that Donovan Mitchell news was like, I want to say over a week. And, like, literally nothing has changed.
Two weeks ago now.
2 weeks.
We were at the beach 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago going, you know, we haven't had our phones in 3 hours. Felt nice. But, like, I imagine we missed a Donovan Mitchell trade because we were at the beach. And, no, that did not happen. That probably won't happen the next time we go to the beach, whenever that is.
No.
And, you know, this is how the offseason works. It's the craziest thing for about 3 days, and then it slows to a halt. And then, you know, we'll get some news again before, you know, the season starts. Obviously, these are two big dominoes that have, one way or another, they have to either be traded or they have to announce they're staying. The other big domino is what's going on with the Los Angeles Lakers. It seems like they have just put themselves in such an enormous hole with this Russell Westbrook trade that they can't really do anything. And if the Nets decide we're holding on to KD and Kyrie and they don't trade the Lakers Kyrie Irving, what else can the Lakers really do to improve what is a really bad roster?
Well, I think it's this marriage to this, like, first round pick that is, like, completely, like, I get it. They don't want to give up everything. But listen, if it only took a second first round pick to get Kyrie Irving and it would dramatically improve your chances, I think you do it. You need to do it. Like, it just, I think to me, it's the most logical thing to do. And if they can take on the Westbrook contract, even better. Like, imagine a scenario where, like, Kyrie comes back, plays between 60 to 70 games. Like, that already is an improvement over Russell Westbrook, no matter how you cut it, no matter what the production is.
I want to explain what the Lakers draft pick situation is for people who don't really know.
Sure.
They have their first round pick this year, but the Pelicans and the Anthony Davis trade can swap. So if the Pelicans are a playoff team, the Lakers are not, the Lakers will have the Pelican pick. The Lakers will not have their own pick. That's what seems likely at this very moment. So if the Lakers bottom out, it's the Pelicans with Victor Wembanyama, not the Lakers. Next year, the Lakers do not have the 2024. They do not have their first round pick. It's owned by New Orleans. The year after that, New Orleans has the pick. 2026, 7, 28, 29, the Lakers have their own first round pick. But because of what is known in the NBA as the Isaiah Thomas rule, thank you, Isaiah Thomas, for creating that. You are not allowed to trade your first round picks. We're not allowed to not own first round picks in back-to-back years. And so they can't trade the 2026 pick, and they can't trade the 2028 pick. So we keep talking about these two available Laker picks, 2027 and 2029. And as of now, the Lakers are saying, we will trade one of those picks for Kyrie Irving. We will trade them for an impact player. But the Nets are saying, no, you give us a first round pick for Kyrie Irving, and then you got to give us a first round pick to take Westbrook. And as of right now, the Lakers are not willing to do that. And, you know, they're not willing to do that in other trades for guys like Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, Eric Gordon, and just teams don't view the Westbrook contract as such an albatross that it's not worth one potentially very good future first round pick. They're saying we need to. And Lakers have to get creative in a front office that has shown that they really haven't shown what they know what they're doing yet. You know, we have never said this is an amazing move by the Lakers. We've said, oh, LeBron James decided he wanted to live in LA. Oh, Anthony Davis wants to be in LA. We've never really said, oh, what a great move by Rob Pelinka. And they, to get out of this hole, they need a great move by Rob Pelinka.
Yeah. And I think, not to say it's the same thing, because it's not, because Lakers won a championship, but I would love to compare that to like the situation in New Orleans, where it was so dire last year. Like, yeah. David Griffin was like basically
on the hot seat. Yeah.
He was on the hot seat. And then out of nowhere, like, he makes a move to get McCollum as the Pelicans were improving as the year went on. And like, they made a nice playoff run, and they gave the Golden State Warriors a run for their money. Oh, sorry, the Phoenix Suns. So I mean, I think like it's clearly Pelinka's not like doing the right things here, and if it's over a first round pick, that's wild to me.
And you know, people are saying, like, what does it matter if this goes bad and you don't have any first round picks? You're gonna be fired anyway. But this is the Lakers, and the Lakers don't really, they consider everybody who's in that organization family. They never really fire a family. They always wind up coming back. So Rob Pelinka, who has been in this Laker organization basically for two decades as Kobe's agent, it's hard for him, and it's hard for Jeannie Buss to be like, we're going all in on a roster that they don't believe can win a championship with or without Kyrie. And in my opinion, if you're not going to go there, they should go the other way. They should talk to LeBron James and be like, we're not going to do this. If you want us to trade you, you go get, you know, you tell me, would Boston do Jaylen Brown? We're talking about the same things with Kevin Durant. You're talking about, you get LeBron James for a full year. You know, no trade clause. I don't think they would ever do it. I know they wouldn't. But to me, you got to go one way or the other. Doing what you did last year again and just hoping Ham, the new coach, can just fix Russell Westbrook and make him want to play. Get out of here with that. That's what they're saying right now. It's absurd.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say one thing about the LeBron thing. I feel like, doesn't he have an option to pick up his contract coming up pretty soon, like at the end of the summer?
So he's got one more year on his deal, which is for this upcoming season. August 4th, he is eligible for a extension. I don't see him signing the extension at this very moment. Do you?
I mean, no. I mean, that's why the other part of this puzzle is whether like the Lakers on the surface are pretending that they want to compete, but then they're secretly hoping like, okay, LeBron will go.
But they don't have their draft picks.
I don't know.
It's kind of like, it would be like, I'm, if the Nets were like, Kevin Durant just walked, you know? Like,
yeah.
At least the Nets are like, okay, if we're like, in this position, we're going to trade Kevin Durant and get all this stuff.
I think
the Lakers are not saying that.
Part of why I'm saying that is like, I'm trying to think of like the rationale in terms of like not doing the things you're supposed to be doing if you are in fact a win now team, you know? I think,
right. And I'm saying is, it just never makes sense to be in the middle, which is like that 10th worst team. Whereas,
yeah,
you're not going to be bad enough to get those top guys. And if you are, things go horribly wrong. It's New Orleans drafting them, not you.
So a la the Orlando Magic and Detroit Pistons of like 5 years ago.
Yeah. And so you're in massive trouble. So unless, you know, I think they privately thought, it won't be that hard to trade Westbrook. We'll make it work. It's been harder than they thought. And I think they also thought they would be able to get better free agents to come here for no money. That has not happened either. And so now you're in a position where this roster is basically more or less the same as it was a year ago. And You're hoping that Westbrook's attitude changes and he's more apt to play defense. You're hoping that Anthony Davis, who's never been healthy ever, is now going to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think instead what's going to happen is this is going to be a LeBron celebration year. We honor the championship in LA. We know he might leave, especially if he doesn't sign the extension. And we're just Laker games will be known as the celebrating LeBron as he catches Kareem for the all-time scoring record.
Mm-hmm.
And look, that's a major accomplishment. It's an incredible accomplishment, but it's not a Laker accomplishment. And if I'm the Lakers, my focus is not on that. It's about how do I make this roster, forget championship contender, how do I make this a surefire playoff team that can make some noise in the playoffs? How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And unless Kyrie Irving thing, that seems like the only way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
We will see. All right, Chris, let's get to our final thoughts right after this. All right, Chris, final thoughts time. You know, free agency is mostly dried up, but there are a couple of guys still available. The biggest one to me is Colin Sexton. And we talked about it before. Restricted free agents just don't have markets. It doesn't seem like they do. There's reports that he has somewhere around a 2-year deal for a little under $40 million on the table to go back to Cleveland. He hasn't signed that yet. I think he should if that is on the table and live to fight another day as an unrestricted free agent in a year or two.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a guy who, like, you know, even we had at one point considered to sign him as well. I'm guessing he would have probably been our fallback option if we didn't get Brunson.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something.
If the health was good.
Right. Carmelo is also a free agent. I
think he gets another chance somewhere.
It's tough to say. I think he probably does. I hope it's for a veteran team that can make the playoffs. I know he wouldn't go play for the Celtics, so I'm scratching that one.
It's going to be very fascinating because Ian Begley has reported in the past the Knicks were open, this front office was open to having Carmelo basically play a farewell tour season as a Knick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's still the case. That was probably a year and a half ago. And now you're talking about a guy who is beloved by the fan base, who would probably love to be here, blocking minutes from Obi Toppin. And I think that's the one way to make a fan base that loves you
hate you,
not want you here.
But also, like, there's just no, I don't see the point in, like, bringing back Melo, though. Like, I just don't. Like, we're not.
I think that was a plan for a few years ago. I don't think it's a plan now. I'm just wondering, could it happen?
Yeah, I don't know. At least I'm not crazy about it right now, at least.
I wonder how open he is to going all over the country to play. But I think a team that could use a guy like him is Minnesota, who, you know, is a contender and basically traded a lot of their depth for this Gobert trade. So, like, you know, all of a sudden they might need a 7th-8th man on the roster, and
he could probably a scoring punch, you know, better leadership. I also think Brooklyn could be a spot too, to be honest with you.
Let's see what that roster looks like with KD, without KD, but that would be a little sad as Knicks fans to see Carmelo finish his career, you know, maybe winning a title in Brooklyn, but we'd rather that than him not be in the league at all, of course.
Yeah. 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 One of the goats.
One of the goats. All right, Chris, is there anything else you have before we wrap up the show?
No, but have you been watching the Drew League?
I have not seen the Drew League. LeBron blew everyone away.
I will say I miss basketball a lot, meaningful basketball. And even the summer league, I got really into it when the Knicks made it to the championship round. We lost, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah. The summer league championship is now it has a little more meaning with the rings. I wonder if that'll continue in years future, or is it just because these rings are new now? But we'll have to wait and see on that. The summer league Knicks did play pretty well until they faced a nameless Portland team. Of course.
Well, that's, you know what, go ahead. You know what it was like, they played really good defense on Grimes, which I think bodes really well for Grimes' development.
they had a bunch of guys who got some big league time at the end of last year when they were tanking, and I think that really made a big difference for them.
Yeah.
And that's going to do it for us here on the All Hoops podcast. Chris, thank you so much. Thank you to our amazing listeners on Apple and Spotify. Thank you to our amazing watchers and viewers on YouTube. And we will be back very soon.
Bye, everyone.